In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Sunday when we fall down in worship before Christ's life-giving cross. And we might think of suffering and pain when we think of the cross, especially if the last thing we did before the beginning of Great Lent was to go to see another Hollywood version of the life of Christ. Pain and suffering. Is that why we put the cross here at the center of Lent? If you listen to all of the Troparia and the Kantakia from the services that lead up to this day, including even the brief Monday morning matins that we chanted here this week, at the beginning of the week, you find, as Father Alexander Schmemann points out, a theme of joy, a theme of life. The canon that was chanted during Matins Monday, as we looked forward to the coming Sunday, veneration of the cross, is very similar to the canon of Pascha. When we think of the cross, we should think of the victory over death. We should think of the new life that we are called to live. Many crosses that you see are those that are called the budded cross. The cross here on the doors is a budded cross. At each arm of the cross, there are buds like the buds that are on trees. Every spring, the trees put forth these buds. Every one of these buds will be a new branch, bursting forth with life. That is the nature of Christ's cross. It is a life-giving cross. During Lent, we have a time when we have decided to leave the city of this world, where everything is devoted to materialism and the satisfaction and fulfillment of our passions. And we have decided to follow Christ across the desert to Pascha. We have decided no longer to be bound by our passions, but to follow Him. He says anyone who wants to follow Him needs to take up their cross and follow Him. And so we have taken up the cross of struggling against our passions. We have challenged our passions by fasting from those things that give us the greatest sense of power and security and health and not needing anything but ourselves and more of that kind of food. We have sacrificed exactly those things and left them behind us and followed Christ into the desert. That decision, that choice is a decision, a choice that each individual makes. We decide to join the others who are following Christ. And by now, carrying the cross of challenging our passions, it has begun to be a weight that we carry. But at the beginning of this week, noticing and recognizing that there is something ahead of us that is life-giving, we begin to have a hope that is not a hope of this world. In a sermon that Father Alexander Schmemann gave about this very point, in Lent, he describes that tree that we see on the horizon, a vast and healthy tree filled with branches and green leaves, providing a cool place of refreshment. That is what was up ahead of us at the beginning of this week. And now we have arrived at that oasis at the midst of Lent, and we see that that tree that provides us refreshment, the refreshment of the joy of Pascha here in the middle of Lent, is the cross of Christ. That is the meaning of Christ's cross. Those who love this world more than anything else, those who love themselves more than others and more than God, when they see the cross, they see only a threat to themselves. But those of us who love God, those of us who love the life that is everywhere in His world, More than anything else, when we see the cross, we see the triumph of Christ over death. We see his victory, and we see that this cross has budded into a source of life and eternal refreshment. And so the fathers, when they ordered the movement through Great Lent, placed a tree of the cross at the center of Great Lent. And now we have reached that point. And if we hear the hymnography, if we're able to hear enough of it, we realize that we are being refreshed with the joy of Pascha already now, because that is our destination. That's what we set out for from the beginning. And so the cross is placed at the center of Great Lent as an encouragement to us, a foretaste of the eternal life that we celebrate on Pascha. There is a reason that we undertake this fast. It is to experience again a actual and real leaving of the world and leaving of a life that is dominated by our passions and desires for the things of the world, to pass through that desert and to come into the garden of paradise that is possible for us even in this life, because the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is within you. Paradise can be experienced in this life, in this world. And when we realize that, then we see the connection between all of the joy that is in God's creation, all of the growing and living things that are not separate from him, but live because of him. Because his divine energies are the divine energies that give life to this world. This is not a dead world organized by chance and the eventual evolution of chaos into order. The reason that Orthodox reject the idea that we have evolved to become human beings is not the same reason that lies behind the conflict between evolution and the creationists who say that Genesis says that everything was literally created in 7 days. Our argument with that is that you cannot evolve into a human being. Human beings can only become what God meant them to be by choice and by assent. By cutting themselves off from control by the passions and forces of chance that seem to govern this fallen world. We are not meant to be governed by those. Certainly, we are not the product of those. There has been, you might say, a devolution since the fall. The opposite of evolution, devolving into something less and less and less human. Christ came and made it possible for us to claim a life in this world, in our lifetime, that is a truly human and fully human life. In the springtime, all of the living things around us spring into life. The grass begins to grow. The trees begin to bud. Flowers begin to rise out of the earth. They are called by the sun created by God. They don't choose. They respond in praise of life. Only human beings can choose. And that is why our spring is not like the spring of the other created things. Our springtime has to be a springtime of choosing to love the light, choosing to go through the painful process of new birth, of awakening and arising, flexing our spiritual muscles again that we've left unused for so long. It is a demanding process, and it requires the effort that we have been making. But we are not saved by the effort that we make. We are saved by joining our effort along with the effort of Jesus Christ and his victory, that is the victory of the cross, so that our effort becomes part of his victory, so that his victory will be our own victory, so that we will be able to arise out of our sleep and experience a new growth, put out strength that we haven't had before, because we are making the effort. We are called to become like God. And it takes effort. It takes effort for the created things of the world to come out of the ground. It takes effort for the birds of the air to fly. But they fly out of love of life and the fulfillment of their created nature. It takes effort for us to live our lives as human beings, to become more and more Christ-like, more and more fully human. The cross is placed here at the center of Lent to give us a taste of the joy of Pascha, a remembrance of the fact that Holy Week, culminating in Good Friday and the crucifixion, is also the victory of Christ over all of those things that we struggle with within ourselves. The victory is his. It has already been won. And he calls us to the finish line from here at the center of Lent as we fall down in worship before his life-giving cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.